Seems like everyone's going to Williston, North Dakota. New York Times columnist Gail Collins said she wanted to see what 1% unemployment looked like. It is true that Williston in the northwest corner of North Dakota is booming. It's America's fastest growing small city. There's always been oil in the Williston Basin. They've had booms before. But in the last 10 years, new drilling technologies, including mini-cams and fracking, made it easier to reach the huge oil reserve trapped in the Bakken Shale. Hundreds of rigs were set up. Thousands of workers, mostly men, flooded into town. So did revenue. Money to the state from corporate income taxes is up fivefold in the past 2 years. Property taxes have been cut because of the influx of cash. A state trust fund has been set up, and North Dakota's expected to have $1 billion surplus. But this is not the story that our next guest, Stephen Roderick, tells. As a contributing editor for Men's Journal, he wanted to see what Williston's new man camps looked and felt like. These are thousands of men living together in dorms, in motels, in camps. As Stephen writes, it all sounded so masculine. And he joins us from KPCC in Pasadena, California. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And we're not male bashing here, but anyone who has had to put down the lid knows there can be problems with, you know, almost an all-male or a largely male population. If you could just delicately relay some of them.
Well, the boarding house I was staying in, I was sharing a shower with six truck drivers. So often I would take a shower and wonder if cholera was still a thing I could catch, because it was not, let's just say, yeah, it was not the cleanest place. And these people are working in very dirty situations with, you know, truck dust and petroleum, that even if you were a very clean man, you'd have a hard time staying clean.
Well, especially if you had no place to get clean, because while there are plenty of jobs, I went online and there was some website saying, you know, over 5,000 jobs in Williston, but they are construction and working in oil. And while there are jobs, there's not housing.
Right. I mean, it took me 2 or 3 weeks to find a small room that I was paying $90 a night for in a boarding house. You drive into town and in any parking lot, you'll see 4 or 5 SUVs or campers with just people sleeping in them, and they are building houses as fast as they can build houses, but that's still not fast enough. And that's part of the reason why there's a lot of men up there and not a lot of their wives or children, is there just isn't infrastructure yet for families. It's, you know, I'd say maybe in a year or two the infrastructure will catch up, but right now it's really tough to find, say, a 3-bedroom house if you have 3 kids.
And you met people who were doing what? I mean, tell us some of the stories of what people were doing to have shelter while they didn't really have shelter.
Well, I met these two guys who had arrived from a small town in Oregon, and they were sleeping outside in a tent they bought at Walmart up on a fence next to the rail yards. And they stayed there for about a week or 10 days, and then they got jobs at a Napa Auto Parts, which wasn't their dream job, but it was paying $15 an hour. And they ended up buying a trailer that they would pay off over a year for $5,000, and they were living in the parking lot behind the Napa with no running water and, you know, a couple-mile bike ride to the nearest showers.
Well, and was that the community center?
Yes, it was.
Which
as of now, they will not be able to be taking showers there. How can I put this delicately? That, you know, it's a very nice community center with 6 or 8 showers, but you throw in a couple hundred men coming there every day, filthy from the oil fields to shower, and some of their hygiene standards are not up to what we might think is what it should be in a modern society. And those few kind of ruined it for everybody else, and they closed down the community center. You can no longer just pay $5 for a shower. You'd have to join the gym for a month.
Well, let's be clear. For those people who have been packing their bags to head to Williston, which you still might want to do, but there was human waste in the hall and the showers. I mean, they had to crack down.
Sure. I mean, there's a guy washing his underwear in the shower the day that I went there. So that gives you an idea of the sanitary conditions.
Well, how else are you seeing the town affected? Look, we've heard these stories, but you immersed yourself in it. So how else are you seeing the impact of this influx of thousands of men?
Well, just picture any town that starts with a population of 10 or 12,000, and then you add another, over the past 3 years, 15 to 20,000 men. It's just it's a town that's bursting at the seams. I mean, in some ways, it's good. I mean, I met a minister who was very charismatic there, who moved up there for the opportunity. I mean, he would talk about how usually when you want to go out and convert and get new followers, you have to, you know, travel overseas or go anywhere. He said every day there'd be 5 or 10 cars just showing up in our parking lot, and they'd be looking for a bed or a meal. And, you know, he said, this is a place to be if you want to build a church. And, you know, the quality of doctors is going through the roof. But yeah, this is a very small town that is 40 or 50 miles off the interstate. And you've got generations of families and ranchers who've lived there for, you know, 7,500 years who didn't sign up for this. And some of them are moving away. Some of them are cashing in. But it's a completely different town than it was, say, even 5 years ago.
Yeah. Again, let's give more illustration. First of all, you mentioned the preacher saying that he's finding people wanting to be saved. And it's because some of the people coming are in real hardship. The men that have left their families behind, many of them, you write, are trying to save their homes from foreclosure in Texas, Florida, and Oklahoma. They've come pretty desperate. And again, the lack of facilities, we'll try to be as delicate as we can. You write about highway medians filled with trucker bombs.
Yes, these are, you know, this is a small town where the kids from the 4-H would usually go clean up the highway medians. And in the past 2 or 3 years, you know, these trucker bombs, which are, you know, 2-liter Coke bottles filled with urine thrown out by truck drivers as they're waiting in line or don't want to, can't find a bathroom. And the 4-H said, you know what, we don't want to put our kids in that situation. And now they're not doing it anymore.
Well, and there's been violence, crime, some of it real, some of it rumored. I mean, there was the murder of a school teacher in January in Montana, but that was traced back to suspects in Williston. There were rumors of rape in the Walmart parking lot among transients living there. Truckers say it happened. Others say, police say it's just rumors.
Well, I think, you know, if you talk to the mayor or someone else, he would say the crime hasn't gone up vis-a-vis the population, that it's gone up in measure with the population doubling. But, you know, I spent a night driving around with one of the young county sheriffs. And, you know, that county that Williston in is as large as Rhode Island. And he had a quadrant that was 30 miles by 20 miles. And, you know, we got into a kind of dicey situation at a small bar in a town called Ray, which is about 10 miles outside of Williston. And, you know, there was nobody within a half hour to reach him. And there was a moment where you thought, you know, this could just end really badly for us. So I think, you know, it's a situation where you have a rural, you know, mom-and-pop town, and you throw in 10,000 26-year-old men who are working 12 hours a day, and then they have one night in town, and they've got a lot of money in their pocket, and there's a lot of drinking, and you can kind of guess the rest.
Yeah. That dicey situation, by the way, you referred to with the county sheriff, involved a standoff with a man named Goatee Guy. It turned out, okay, he slipped off his drunken spree in a jail cell, but those jail cells are crowded. We're talking to Stephen Roderick, who tells the story of boomtown Williston, North Dakota, in a recent edition of Men's Journal. We'll have more on how hard the work there is in 1 minute, here and now. Welcome back to our conversation about oil boomtown Williston, North Dakota. Yesterday's headline in the Williston Herald, the local paper there, read, "Post Office Looking for Ways to Keep Up with Growing Population." The regional spokesperson for the post office said that over the last year, the number of parcels delivered to Williston has doubled. Letters have increased 12%, so too have magazines, newspapers, other deliveries. The paper also had the latest on the shooting death of Gerald Schild, a 57-year-old Texan who was killed at what's called a crew camp or man camp. This is temporary housing units for workers. His alleged assailant was another Texan. Both had moved to Williston to work in the booming oil industry. Williston is the fastest-growing small city in America. It has 1% unemployment. It also has all the problems of a town undergoing rapid change after fracking technology enabled oil companies to switch from vertical drilling to horizontal drilling so that they could reach oil trapped in the shale below the town. This was just 10 years ago. Stephen Roderick writes about the new Williston in Men's Journal. And Stephen, before the break, you know, we were talking again about the shortage of housing for these new workers. Why isn't Williston building faster to accommodate all these people coming in? You know, the oil's not going to go away. Why not build tons of low-rent housing or motels? Why are they not moving to meet this demand?
Well, I think they are, but, you know, Williston has had oil at different points in its history. And it's very wary of the boom and bust culture. And I think when this latest boom started 2 or 3 years ago, there was a hesitation to build new houses or new hotels because they said, you know, we've been through this before. That happened in the 70s, and we had whole neighborhoods that were, you know, vacant when the bust came. So I think for the first year or two, they moved a little cautiously, understandably. And now, you know, now they're just playing a big catch-up game. There's talk that building a new airport a few miles outside of town. You know, there's a Hampton Inn that's opening in a couple months. So it's the growth has just been so extraordinarily quick that it's hard to fault them in terms of being able to keep up with this. I'm not sure any town could manage this any better.
You talk about the farmhouse turned boarding house owned by widow Kathy Walton that you stayed in. You know, people have been renting rooms to transient workers, but they're trying to set rules. She had you sign a list of rules. What did that include?
There was no drinking, although there was almost an immediate violation of that when she offered me a thimble of brandy as a welcoming gesture. But no drinking. You had to pay your bill on time. Don't use anybody else's soap in the shower. You're responsible for your own blankets, own sheets. She would cook for you either once or twice a week, but you were also responsible for your own meals. So, you know, the guy staying in the lower level of the house, you know, is basically basement partitioned in, you know, into five little sections. And, you know, they're basically living on microwave food. They've got a couple microwaves down there and a TV. And the thing is, you know, you're working 84, 90 hours a week, as a lot of these guys are. There's not a lot of downtime. So the lack of whatever you want to say, recreational activities or even your own private space, I don't think hit them as hard as it might if they were there for a few days with vacation. But these guys are working so hard, they'd come home, microwave something, zone out in front of ESPN for an hour and two, sleep 8 hours, and then just do it again.
The work they're doing, I mean, the people actually doing the oil work, you describe a scene in which you're out at a rig. A guy comes in and he's just saying, I can't do this anymore. He's saying, I got to quit. And you thought he was like in his 60s?
Yeah, I thought this man was in his 60s, and he came in, and he was covered in oil and dirt. And at the oil rigs, they do this 14 days on, 14 days off. And in the 14 days that you're on, you're working 12 hours a day, and you're moving machinery, you're drilling, you're climbing up on these rigs. And just the vibration of the rig and moving these half-ton pieces of metal, this guy was 42, and he took off his gloves and showed me his hands, and they looked to be swollen to twice the size of what a normal hand would be. And he said, I thought I could do it. I was hoarding some Vicodin from a dental surgery a few months ago, but I just can't do it anymore. And the guy around the rig said, you know, that's understandable. This isn't for everybody. And, you know, the guy went back to Colorado.
Yeah. Look, you know what the reaction to your article has been. And again, it's in Men's Journal, so you were really staying with that particular herd. But still, there were people that got very upset. One reader, Heather Marie Huelsman, says, you make the entire town sound like an uncivilized third world country. And you even point out that you're sitting at some El Rancho motel, I think, at one point. And there's a rancher couple. They're quiet, and they may talk about truck traffic. But then there's another couple just back from their Arizona vacation home that made out quite a bit. They, you know, they own millions of dollars in mineral rights. So
sure.
Is it a town where people have different perceptions of it?
Oh, sure. I mean, there are people who either through luck or just thinking ahead who own mineral rights who are becoming quite rich. And if you own the land that they're drilling on and you own the mineral rights, the money just is flowing in. So those people, they're not, you know, that's a, I would say, a handful of kind of old Williston families and shrewd investors. And they still complain about the traffic and the dust and not being able to get a seat at a restaurant where, you know, 2 years ago they used to know everybody. But, you know, I was writing about it from the perspective of what's it like for a guy desperate to make a living, to pay his bills back at home. And, you know, at this boarding house I stayed at, you know, on more than one occasion someone would just ring the doorbell and say, you know, I just drove through the night from Chicago. I'm lost. Can you point me to where the town is? And you just ask him, what got you here? What made you drive 36 hours straight from Chicago? And he just says, jobs. I heard there was jobs here.
Yeah. That's Men's Journal contributing editor Stephen Roderick. And Stephen, I guess, what would you say to people who say to you, should I go there?
Well, if you want to go there, be prepared to work harder than you ever worked in your life. There's a few, but there's not a ton of white-collar jobs. If you arrive there, yeah, you should be in good shape and just be prepared that all you're going to do is work, sleep, work, sleep. And, you know, a lot of these people try to do it for, say, I'm going to do it for a year or two. It's a little bit like the military. I'm going to try to do my hitch, save a little money, and then go back home. But if you think you're going there to make easy cash and it's just going to come to you, you're going to leave disappointed.
And we might add, bring disinfectant.
Absolutely.
Stephen Roderick, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
And for pictures of the man caves in Williston, North Dakota, go to hereandnow.org. Well, tomorrow on Here and Now, what is true about Paul Ryan's budget plan? He's proposed cutting Medicaid spending by a third. He'd cap student Pell Grants. Defense spending would increase, but would taxes on the rich lower? That's tomorrow. Still ahead today, green on blue violence in Afghanistan. We'll explain after the news, Here and Now.